Amen. Amen. When I was but a little boy, I think 8 or 9 years old, my mom and dad made a decision that they were going to do the All-American road trip out west. Maybe some of you remember that. What I find so striking is, see, the highways were now built that we could do interstate travel, which is just bizarre to me because I'm so used to it. But before that, when my parents grew up, there were no interstate highways. So now there was, and so America took to the road. And as I have learned looking back, that there were a lot of us that took to the road. In fact, today in COVID, we have found out that a lot of Americans have gone back to the road. And many of them today did the same trip I did when I was but 8 or 9 years old. They got in their car, in our case, it was an American, I think it was an American Rambler, American Motors Rambler. And I remember it had hot, sticky seats and the plastic, and you had indentations in your skin. And I know that today we have air conditioning, all that stuff in cars, but people are doing the very same trip. We started in Appleton, Wisconsin. We drove to the Badlands in South Dakota. We went to Mount Rushmore. Then we went up north to, we did some Canadian stuff, and then we came riding back. Anybody else ever done that, the Badlands? Mount Rushmore, a whole bunch of us. On our way back from that trip, and why I remember this, I do not know, but it became imprinted in my mind. My parents decided on the last day of the trip just to do the long drive and get home. We've all done that. So it was a long drive. And I remember my brother and I, it was getting dark, and we both fell asleep in the back seat. And then we heard a thump. Little did we realize that my father had hit a skunk. We didn't realize that now traveling with the car was a precious aroma going through western Wisconsin heading to the eastern side of Wisconsin. At one point, my parents decided to stop at an A&W because, you know, they came out to the car and brought your food, and they were going to kind of come out, go, you know, get a root beer and a burger and then be on the road. And I woke up, and I remember to this day that we hit a thump. We stopped at A&W root beer, and then a young woman came out to get our order. My dad rolled out the window, and the woman said, "Your car really, really smells." And she turned around and went back into the restaurant. I remember my dad had to get out of the car, go up and do the order. And when he got out of the car, he realized what we had actually hit. And he had some things to say to my mother about a rotten skunk. I remember this as a 9-year-old. My parents hit a skunk and we smelled the whole thing. And I remember we got home and it took days for my dad to get rid of this car smell because the skunk was so rancid. Here's the truth that I think we can all accept. Please accept this. Please, Sharon, please accept this. We all smell. Is this acceptable to say? Lucy says it is, but she's older. Yeah. When we're younger, we don't quite like to identify it, but we smell. And I'll tell you, we live in a world of smells. Don't we live in a world? We do this incense thing, and we burn the incense, and as we talked about the incense, we said some people are going to hate it and gag, and someone's going to say they had an allergic reaction, because that always happens. Someone will go, "Oh, they brought out incense. We love incense. It reminds me of when I was 20. And so on. But the fact of the matter is, the purpose of incense, really, the purpose, in the Old Testament, they burned a lot of incense. Now I'm going to talk about it in the New Testament. The same is true in the New Testament in a few minutes. But in the Old Testament, you burned a lot of incense. And I'm going to tell you, incense was a sign of prayer going up to God. It also covered up the rancid smell of sacrificing animals on the fire. Can you imagine all those animals burning on the flame and what that must have smelled like? Here's a tidbit for you to take home today. This is trivia for you to go home with. The world deodorant market. You ever wonder about the world deodorant market? And you should worry about the world deodorant market. She says she has no interest in it at all, but you should. Because the person next to you may smell. The world deodorant market in 2018 was 22.5, hear this, $22.5 billion. Billion. They are projecting. And I don't know why. When is there a line that we've had enough? But they say by 2026, the deodorant market will be $30.7 billion. It's going to grow. So either there's people buying more deodorant or they're charging more for the deodorant. Yeah, both. Yeah, I think, well, how many deodorant pieces? Yeah, all right, enough. The most popular deodorant. Now you can think about this, what you like to use. The most popular deodorant on the market for both men and for women is Dove. Dove deodorant. You may disagree because you have your favorite, Old Spice. Irish Spring. But Dove is the most popular deodorant on the market. Now, the point of deodorant, and you know the point of deodorant. The point of deodorant is you smell. And we're trying to help people not smell. I learned that as a coach of middle school boys. You stink. Not that bad. Yes, that bad. In both 2 Corinthians and in the psalm reading, which was incorporated into the opening today, we use the fancy word for smell because it's church. The fancy word for smell is fragrance. You ever notice in a commercial when they want to tell you it's upscale? They go, have the fragrance. Because that's the fancy word. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He writes, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Oh, so to know who Christ Jesus is like a precious fragrance. It's like a precious smell being offered to the people around us. Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2 says this, may my prayer be set before you like incense. Like incense. So when you came in today, you should have sat down and smelled incense when you walked in. Brenda says she did. Oh, good. Your nose is fine. And then you'll see we have some incense containers around the sanctuary. And then I brought in the big one here. I guess this is called a thurible. And we noticed when you came in that the smell of the incense, if strong enough, can be overwhelming. And that says something, an overwhelming aroma lifting up to heaven. We also know, of course, we also know that there are bad smells. So you and I get smells. The scripture speaks to the power of the smell. King David wrote this psalm, Psalm 141, when he wrote it, and he says that our prayers are being lifted up like incense to heaven. David wrote that. He was familiar with incense, and he gave us the purpose of incense, that incense was prayers being lifted up. In the Christmas story, remember Zechariah, and he couldn't talk because an angel spoke to him? And then, you know what he was doing? He was replacing the incense in the temple, in the holy place. Because in the temple, in the holy place, was this table. They called it actually the altar of incense. And it had to be replenished 2 times a day. The morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. And so Zechariah is there in one of those periods to do the sacrifice or to do the incense, the replenishing of the incense. And isn't it striking that when he pours the incense, and I do believe he was praying at the time that he did that, he poured the incense on and the aroma begins to flare up. and the smells go up, that it's at that very moment that the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and said he was going to have a child. At the moment of prayer, see how it works? At the moment of prayer, the incense floating up to heaven, and God sends Gabriel and says, that smell worked. And Zechariah, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. Of course, we all know about bad smells. Today we gave you, kind of in worship, the overwhelming good smell. Yet there are bad smells, like a dead skunk. Or, in my experience, a men's locker room. I can only imagine some of you who are athletes, remembering years past for some and for some years present, the smell of a rotten locker room. Or how about this one? You all have had this experience. Rotting trash. Something sits in your trash can too long. You open up, you know, you got your trash can in the house and you can smell it. You throw it in the trash can and a few days before it's picked up, it gets pretty exciting. Isaiah the prophet says this in chapter 3, verse 24. Look what he says about bad smells. Now it will come about that instead of sweet perfume, there will be a putrefaction. Instead of well-set hair, a plucked-out scalp. Instead of fine clothes, a donning of sackcloth and branding instead of beauty. I really like that word, putrefaction. Putrefaction, you know, like fragrance is a fancy word for nice smell. Putrefaction is, boy, that's horrible. That is just an awful smell. You can go home and talk about that today. Your room smells like putrefaction. Isaiah is very clear. There's going to be a rotting and decay, and you all know what putrefaction looks like. You really do. You do know what putrefaction sounds like. Putrefaction in our world today is a sign of anarchy. It's a sign of evil. Smell? It's a smell of a young woman who was murdered in L.A. this week. Just doing her job at a fancy furniture store. Just doing her job. And evil walked into the store. And she died. That's a horrible putrefaction. It's the smell of abusive language that we can speak to each other in our anger. And here's the point. Have we all spoken abusive language to each other? Oh, no one raises their hand to that but one. Donna says I do all the time. All right, yeah. But you'll notice abusive language, angry language. Here's one, sarcasm. You know what the word sarcasm actually means in Greek? It comes out of Greek. It's called sarkos. It means flesh tearing. So if you like sarcasm, that's abusive language. You go, oh, we're just sarcastic. It doesn't mean anything. Oh, yeah, it means something. You're ripping flesh off of your friend. It's the lowest common denominator of humor. Some of you will say, well, yeah, really sarcastic. I don't want to be near you. I won't have any flesh. Abusive language that we speak to each other. Or how about this? We can get so angry and we don't give up our anger. We hold on to the anger. And anger unresolved turns to bitterness. And bitterness unresolved turns into hatred. Is that putrefaction? It is. The fact is that we all have that horrible, rotting, putrefaction smell. It's one of the reasons we do a confession of sins at the beginning of a worship service. What we try to do, and this is really true, what we try to do to cover up that putrefaction, I love that word. Bob, we're going to use that more. That whole thing of putrefaction, that rotten smell, what we try to use to cover it up is deodorant, hairspray, whatever you use, aftershave, whatever we use to cover up the filthy smell. Despite that ugly smell, like yelling at your child to take a shower because they smell disgusting, Any of us who have been parents have done that? What I find so interesting is we could get caught into the cycle of putrefaction. We can get caught in the cycle of ugliness. And sometimes when I listen to the news, like a lot, I think, man, are they caught into one thing after another thing, and everybody's got breaking news. I don't care what network you listen to. They all have breaking news, and it's rarely good. We're caught into this cycle of an ugliness, and that ugliness creates a smell. And when you're sniffing it, you go, ooh, that hurts. That's right. That's called the smell of rot. What do we know about our world? We live in a world that's rotting. I'm not kidding, folks. I'm not speaking this lightly. We do live in a world of rotting. And the smell can be pretty awful. Oxford High School recently. People still overcoming the pain of that moment of death. Loss of safety in their school. Those are pinnacles of bad, but then we have the undercurrent that things are just bad. When we understand that the world is in rot, then doesn't that not say, how do we get out of the rot? Am I the only one? How does the rot stop? What it took to stop the rottingness, the putrefaction, the ugly smell, what stops it is Jesus. I don't say this lightly. God himself had to intervene into our rot and actually become us, live in our smell, then die a most horrible death that we would experience. That's the lowest of all the rot is death. And Jesus does it. He dies. And then from his death, we see the fragrant smell of resurrection. So we go from rot to fragrance. We go from hopelessness to hopefulness. You see what I'm saying? We go rot, fragrance. We are not living. We may be surrounded by a world that we see imploding, but we have a message that changes the culture and can call us into the presence of Jesus, which lifts us up to hope. And where hope is, love never fails. Love always lives, and love always produces hope. When Jesus steps in and Jesus experiences sacrifice, when that happens, when he dies for us, he becomes the living sacrifice for us, like the animals sacrificed in the temple. When that happens, and Jesus dies on the cross, it is the sweet aroma floating up to the God who wishes us to be in his presence. That sacrifice redeems us in ways we do not understand. We can't comprehend it. Death is destroyed. God's love, his fragrance is poured upon us. And it's in his death that life is found. And life is the sweet aroma, because God gifts us with life. Jesus in our gospel is speaking to a large crowd around the Sea of Galilee, new followers of him. And then he begins to preach, and this is what he says. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. What we see Jesus talking about that, what he's saying is this. You followers of me, you, which is you, you are the fragrance to the world. You are the fragrance. That's what Paul writes in his epistle in 2 Corinthians. He says, in the English Standard Version, he writes, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. You become God's fragrance to the world out there. The world that might be living in rot, you become the fragrance to refute that rot. It says this in the New Living Translation, this verse, but I kind of like how it says, "But thanks be to God, he has made us captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume." Oh, sweet. Sweet perfume. You see, a Roman triumphal procession that Paul writes about was a victory march. When the Romans defeated an enemy, they would have a big parade through the main street of Rome. Guess what they would do? The general would be in the front, and as the general's army arrived, they would begin to burn incense. And they would just flood the streets with the sweet aroma as the army would march through. That's the picture the Apostle Paul is playing with. He's talking about a Roman triumphal procession where sweet incense are being burned. And he says to you and me, we're God's procession of triumph. We bring the sweet perfume to the world. You and I are that. Blessed are you who hunger and weep, who are persecuted, for you are the fragrance of the world. Ephraim Elkanan is an ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jew. We have a picture of an ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jew. There's an ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jew. That is not Ephraim. But I wanted you to see the picture because I want you to see what he had to say. This Hasidic Jew who is, Hasidic Jews, we have some populations, I don't know if they're in Detroit, but they're very, very ultra-Orthodox. They're way over on the right side. You see the largest population, by the way, in the United States of ultra-Orthodox Jews is in the city. This is what Ephraim Elkanan said from Jerusalem, looking at that picture. "I came to Israel to be a Jew, and I want to be a Jew. My grandfather in Poland was killed by the Germans. When the Germans came to the little town where he lived, they tore his beard away from him by force." This beard they tore away from him, I want to wear it. This is the fragrance of generations. We have an eternal fragrance that we can give to people for all time. May we be willing to carry that fragrance, that aroma, the smell of the Christ, when we walk out those doors and into the blizzard. The snow has almost stopped. May we walk out the door into that snow, back into our worlds, and realize wherever you travel, whatever world you're journeying in, you are the sweet aroma. If you wrestle or retired, if you're an engineer or a weightlifter, if you're an organist for the Red Wings, and I've seen pictures on Facebook where you got a really funny red coat on. I think sequins, too. If you're the organist for the Red Wings or you're a pickleball athlete, realize whatever you're doing, you carry the fragrance of Jesus with you. You do. It gives you a sweet aroma, more than what Dove or Old Spice can do. But you should use it. In Christ's name, amen.